Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. It seems like forever since we've been together on a Wednesday.
It does. How was your holiday?
It was good. Did the Roswell Tree fun run.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. They had about 100 people there and raised some money for the food bank.
Did you do some fireworks?
Went to my wife works at Coke, so we go to the Coke parking garage to watch the ones at Centennial Park.
Nice. Very nice.
What about you?
And the weather. A lot of outdoor stuff. A lot of outdoors. Gosh, the weather's just been perfect. Love it, love it. Excited about our show today, Lee, because you know I love to cook. I love to eat. But also some other interesting topics this morning. Our first guest this morning, you see all those little cars driving around the street, and I've just been so curious about them. This morning we have Les Seagraves from WeGo. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We're anxious to hear all about WeGo electric cars.
Thanks, Amy.
Welcome. So tell us about the company. I haven't heard about WeGo.
WeGo is a small company, a startup company based here in Atlanta, and we make all electric cars.
And it's not a hybrid, right? It's just it's only electric.
It's a 100% plug-in electric vehicle.
So describe it. I mean,
is it like a Hummer? What's it look like?
Not quite. Our car, it's about 10 feet long. It's a two-door coupe. It's basically a small, what you would call a city car in other parts of the world.
Right.
It's some people call it a local use vehicle. But it's an electric car that can get you 100 miles on a charge.
Wow. Now, is it like the size of a smart car?
It's actually about a foot longer than a smart car, about 6 inches wider, about 5 inches taller. So it's a little bit bigger than a smart car.
So how do you charge it? You said 100 miles, then I put it into my garage. How long does it have to charge?
Well, you can charge it a couple ways. The first is just with a regular 110 outlet.
So just like the plug that you plug your blower in.
Pull into your garage.
Wow.
And plug it in, and it'll get about 50% of a charge overnight.
Uh-huh.
So with a 100-mile range.
So if you have 50 miles, just if you charge it every night and you have a round trip of 50 miles, that would be perfect.
That's right. And also you can get a level 2 charger or 220 charger.
Right.
It runs on a circuit like your dryer.
Right.
It'll charge in half the time, so you could get a full charge overnight.
So how much does the car cost? I mean, it seems like you're saving a lot of money in gas, and you're definitely doing the environment a favor. How much does a little guy cost?
The car starts at $33,000.
Okay. Now, I know I said
is
something.
Is it two seats?
It's a two-seater.
So maybe me and my dog. Although right now I'm watching this Mastiff, and it doesn't even fit in my Volkswagen. So you probably you and another small person, right?
Or a big person.
People.
Yeah, I mean, you're pretty tall. Are you comfortable in it?
Well, our engineer is 6'5".
Wow.
And so I've actually had someone that's 7 foot tall sit in it comfortably.
Wow.
So it has a lot of room for a 10 foot long car.
So as it relates to the environment, there's a lot of controversy. Some people think that the electric cars are doing the environment good. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's easy to be a detractor for, especially when new products and a lot of change are coming about. But about 50% of all pollution in the cities are caused by internal combustion engine cars. With electric cars driving around, there's zero emissions, zero pollution. So obviously for your neighborhood and your city, the electric car is a huge improvement for the environment,
right,
for the air that you breathe.
Now, what's the lifespan of a battery?
The batteries will probably last between 7 and 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And we have a 7-year warranty on the batteries themselves. So the good thing about batteries is that the cost is coming down rapidly. So right now where the batteries are half the cost of the car, in another 3 or 4 years, they'll maybe be a tenth of the cost of the
car. So by the time your battery does expire, then the price should come down dramatically.
That's correct.
So how long have y'all been working on the model?
Well, we've been working on the electric car for a couple years. We actually split out from another company last year and to work full time on the 2011 WeGo Whip Life is what the full name of the vehicle. So we've been working on it for a couple of years and really hard this year as far as going through all the safety testing and getting it built.
But how have you stayed so under the radar? I mean, every time you turn around, we talked about this briefly earlier, you see Tesla this, Tesla that. They're in every magazine. It seems like, you know, their PR guy must be, you know, working 24/7 because you just know every move they make, it seems.
Well, Tesla is a sexy $110,000 sports car, so it's easy for car people to sort of fall in love with it. But WeGo is a small company. This is our first full-speed car that we're launching at the end of the summer. So we're taking the time to make sure we do everything right. As a small company, we really only have sort of one chance to come out of the gate as a car manufacturer. And so we're making sure that our reputation is intact and that we produce a quality vehicle that's also safe to drive and that we don't have any problems with it. And over the last 10 years, there have been several, you know, hundreds of companies that have come out with an electric car, and they've sort of gone away.
Right.
Except for, maybe a handful. We don't want to be one of those companies. We're in it for the long haul. We want to produce more cars. So, we're almost on purpose, at least until the end of the summer when our car comes out, staying a little under the radar.
So are you taking orders for them already?
We are. We have, you can sign up online and reserve a car right now.
Now, I understand there's some kind of federal tax credit, too. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the government, both federal and state governments, have been very active in trying to encourage people to use electric cars. Right now, there is a $7,500 federal tax credit if you buy an all-electric car. Several states, including Georgia, has a $5,000 tax credit. So that
on top of the $7,500?
On top of the $7,500.
Really? So you get $12,000 back?
That's right.
So the car becomes a $20,000 car.
It does. So, last year Oklahoma had a 50% state tax credit. You could buy an electric car for, a couple thousand dollars.
Wow.
So things
wow.
like that around the country.
That's are for really, the residents of Oklahoma?
That's correct.
Wow.
It's basically the tax credit is on the taxes that you would pay wherever
right.
you are. So, yeah, the $7,500 federal tax credit, plus there's a new bill that may offer either a tax rebate, so you get it right up front, or an additional tax credit that may put that up to $10,000.
That's amazing. And then I understand you can also use the HOV lanes too, right? Even if there's just one person in the car?
In a lot of states, one of the incentives to give alternate fuel cars or electric cars is to do things like give it free parking or use the HOV lane. Here in Georgia, you may have seen the signs recently that they've put in the HOV lanes that if you have an electric car, you can drive with one person.
Wow.
What about the safety of it? It just seems so small to me, the electric cars. But I drive a small car. I always feel safe in it.
Right.
But I mean,
it'll be different.
Because I know whenever I have the conversation with people about electric cars, people always jump on the bandwagon of it not being safe. But they're safe, right? I mean, they have to pass the same safety ratings and stuff.
Yeah, the number one concern and the number one effort as far as, where we've spent our money is to make sure that we have a safe car. And they all have to be, they meet federal crash test requirements. And so that's what the bulk of our work this year has been, is to make sure that our car is as safe as, any car out there on the road.
So where can we find one? Are they going to be at dealerships? I mean, how will you be able to buy one?
Right now we have about 30 dealers across the country, everywhere from California to Maine. Right here in Georgia, our dealer is Jim Ellis. Well-known, long-time Atlanta dealer. You can order the car online at WeGo.net, and we'll find a dealer for you if there's not one near you.
Give us the website one more time.
It's WeGo.net, W-H-E-E-G-O.net.
Now, I'm really excited about this. I think that I hope you guys do well, and I hope that this succeeds, because I think that more people drive in a small space than they realize. Mm-hmm. I think in their head they think, well, I could drive around the country. But in reality, what's the round trip radius of most people? Do you know?
I've heard the numbers that 90% of all Americans drive less than 25 miles a day.
Right. But in their head, they think that just in case I need to have a car that can take me, anywhere.
And when you have an electric car that, eventually you'll be able to charge with a fast charger in about 20 minutes. So that concern
won't be
there.
That's down the road?
Yeah, that's down the road.
Right.
They're working on standards, and, it's expensive right now to do that. But eventually that'll happen. But for now, when you have an electric car, what you need to do is sort of plan a little differently. You plan where you're going. You sort of think about travel a lot differently. But, yeah, it meets most people's needs, especially, around town. If you're a commuter or you live downtown or you live, in the suburbs, it's not the car you're going to take to grandma's house.
Right.
It's one that you can do about 99% of all your driving.
And you had mentioned that if I had to sit in traffic for an hour, that wouldn't deplete the charge necessarily as fast as if I was driving.
If you're sitting in an internal combustion engine car and idling in traffic, then you're blowing smoke and polluting.
Right.
If you're in an electric car and you're not touching the accelerator, then you're not using any energy at all, which is it's great.
Right.
It actually works
so
great
in traffic. Is shouldn't be a deterrent.
Yeah. For Atlanta, it's the perfect commuter car for Atlanta.
I love it. I think you've got an order to be placed right here.
I'm close. Lee, believe me.
Lee was so excited when we knew you were coming on the show, Les. He had lots of questions, and we have kind of had our eye on the company and watching it develop, and I'm really anxious to see it grow. I think maybe you need to come back in a year, and we'll see where y'all are.
How about 6 months?
6 months? I like that. I like that even better.
Yeah, one of the things about our company is, we're small, we're nimble, we're able to get to market quicker than a lot of the other big companies.
Sure.
And that's what we're doing. Nissan is spending about $100 million on the launch of the Leaf, but most people won't be able to buy that until a year from now.
Right.
Our car comes out later this summer.
So they're advertising for you, really.
That's pretty much. They're creating the demand, and we're filling it.
Right.
That's right.
I love it. Gosh, thanks for being a guest this morning, and thanks for telling us about the car. I can't wait to see it on the road, and I can't wait to see it in the parking garage here, Lee.
That's right. Well, is it on the road anywhere here yet? Is anyone driving him?
We have some low-speed versions here, but the full speed won't be out until September.
Right.
You'll definitely see some around town.
And that's WHEEGO.net.
That's right.
Excellent. Thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thanks, you guys.
We'll definitely have Les back in about 6 months.
Right, get an update.
Yes, our next guest Our next guest this morning is also a repeat guest. We love to keep our eye on growing companies and companies that are smart and going with the great trends of health. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Welcome back. We have Stephanie Stone and Ashley Grossman from Fresh and Fit Cuisine. That's always a mouthful for me. Say that five times fast. Fresh and Fit Cuisine. Welcome.
Good morning, Amy, and thank you for having us.
Thank you for being with us. And we've got great goodies sitting in front of us that smell wonderful. They always look good. Tell us what we're about to eat.
Well, this is our crepes with peach compote and homemade granola. And this is turkey carnitas with quinoa, I believe. These are some of the meals that are on our menu. Fresh and Fit Cuisine is a fresh and healthy meal plan, 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We're available throughout Georgia and Alabama and several other states in the Southeast as well. Everything we do is fresh and healthy. We prepare our meals in Cumming and deliver them throughout the state and to our customers in other states as well.
And they taste so good. I'm always amazed because when you think healthy, usually I think things that aren't as tasty, but the combinations are fabulous. Now, how do you go about creating these from a nutritional perspective when you have to meet certain requirements and keep the sodium down and the calories down? How do you go about that?
We basically, every ingredient that comes through the doors is analyzed by the whole team. So we take a multi, discipline approach where the chefs are looking at it for how does it taste? The dietitians were looking at what is the content of all the food. Does it contain artificial colors or flavoring? You know, we'll never bring something into the building that has anything artificial, especially any kind of artificial sugars. So we're looking at basically the taste. How can you take something that is tastes amazing, but it's also healthy? So we want it to meet. We have a strict set of guidelines that we follow to make sure that the meals meet the recommendations of the American Heart Association, the American Diabetes Association, the American Dietetic Association. So all the professional groups that are out there, we want to make sure that we're meeting all of their guidelines.
How do you meet the guideline of the picky eater?
It's tough. We have to look at everything from everything has to be varied. So we try to really look at the menus to make sure that we're not repeating anything. So, you know, you don't want to have the same vegetable on it every meal. You have to look at variety. So it's a lot to balance every meal every day, because we're not just – you can't just look at even the day. You have to look at first the meal, then you look at the day itself, and then the overall week. And again, Fresh and Fit is a six-week cycle menu, so we also don't want to have continuous repetitions even within the 6 weeks. So it always needs to be varied.
So what does six-week cycle mean?
Six-week cycle means basically that you would never get the same meal twice. If you were on the meal plan for a month and a half, that the meal is going to be different at every meal for a month and a half.
So that's 7 days a week? That's how this works? 7 days a week?
7 days a week, breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
But you can have variations of that, right? You don't have to have three meals a day for 7 days.
Correct. And okay. I can let Stephanie address that.
Well, it is a meal plan. We do provide breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of variety because we have three meals a day for 7 days a week for 6 weeks. And no meal ever repeats. You'll still see the same chicken in menus, but they are prepared differently. So there's a whole lot of variety throughout the meal. But it is a plan, three meals a day. It's all calorie controlled and portion size control, available in either 1,200 calories a day or 2,000 calories a day. Low fat, low cholesterol, low sodium.
1,200 calories a day?
Mm-hmm. Someone can eat, that's like a meal, right? Yeah. 1,200?
And actually, yes, that's for your whole day. So it covers a broad range of individuals. Basically, you could either be somebody that's looking to lose weight that we would typically put on the 1,200 calories a day diet, or you would have somebody, maybe a busy professional that doesn't necessarily need to lose weight but wants to eat extremely healthy, where we'd recommend the 2,000 calorie diet. And then, of course, our website has a whole list of 100-calorie snack options, so anybody that would fall in between the 1,200 and the 2,000-calorie requirement can look for some great snack options on the web.
But do you recommend to eat just three meals a day for weight loss? Is that your recommendation?
Three meals a day can definitely achieve weight loss. And again, we just look at what we do is if we do have a person that has a specific question, say I have a new mother that may be breastfeeding, she may call in and say, you know, how many calories should I be eating? So we'll look at is she active? Is she breastfeeding? And then we'll make that recommendation. Does she need to maybe add in snacks? And a lot of it's personal preference. If you're hungry throughout the day, you may need to add snacks. But if you can get through with the three meals a day, then that's also appropriate for weight loss.
So who are your typical customers?
It's many and varied. Mm-hmm. Typically, busy individuals who want to eat healthy but don't necessarily have the time to do the shopping, the planning, the cooking, the cleaning. But it's new mothers, empty nesters, professional couples. We serve a large variety of customers throughout the area, most of whom love the convenience of it, not just the fact that it's all fresh and healthy, but the fact that it's very convenient for them. The meals are all packaged individually, so everything you need in one meal is in one package. It's easy to take with you to work or to if you're going on vacation, take it with you then as well.
So how does the person get their meals? Or do they deliver to them? Is there a pickup place?
We have more than 45 pickup locations throughout Metro Atlanta. The meals are prepared fresh in our kitchen and coming, and then delivered in our refrigerated trucks, our fleet of refrigerated trucks, to our distribution network throughout the metro area. And customers pick up their meals from those distribution locations on Mondays and Thursday evenings. Okay. And on Mondays, they would pick up the meal 3 days of meals, and on Thursdays, they pick up 4 days of meals. It's always fresh. It's never frozen. So you have to pick it up and consume it within a limited amount of time.
Gosh, what a great idea. My family's been out of town, and I'll tell you, I have eaten so poorly. I love to cook, but nobody cooks for themselves. Mm-hmm. I'm embarrassed to say I ate like a piece of carrot cake for dinner last night. That's horrible. But I can see where a busy individual, I mean, to come home and have a great meal already prepared for you. Mm-hmm. The other thing I've noticed, too, and I know last time y'all were on the show, we kind of did a cost comparison. People look at it and sometimes think, gosh, that's such an extravagant meal or an expenditure that really, when you look at it, you're saving money. I mean, I love to cook and I like to cook well, and I don't think I could purchase the ingredients and make these meals for that amount.
That's correct. It is restaurant quality meals. Every one of the meals are restaurant quality, and it is about $20 a day for all three meals. And most people, if you go out to dinner, one meal is going to cost you more than $20 a day. And that's not including your breakfast and your lunch. And, you know, so many individuals, particularly professionals, eat out every day. So it is a savings to a large extent. It's also, we have had a lot of customers tell us that it saves money just going to the grocery store, not even going out to eat. But people were buying food, trying to prepare it, and then throwing away what was left over. And we really don't experience that with these meals. People don't tend to throw them away that much.
And I think you also have to think about how much is your time worth. I think
that's correct.
In these days, our time is, you know, invaluable. So
now, how do you deal with the person that's like, you know, they have their meal for the day, and then all of a sudden they're like, well, there's a business dinner that I have to go to. So how do you help them to, what do they do that now with this meal that they aren't going to consume?
Well, luckily, on an as-needed basis, you can definitely put them in the freezer, mm-hmm. And they will freeze, and then you can defrost them at a later time.
Right.
So that's something you can look at. We also offer a meal plan that's a 5-day-a-week meal plan. So that way, if you do tend to have business meetings during the week or events on the weekend, you mm-hmm. would only have 5 days of meals where you'd have some flexibility, where about, you know, you wouldn't have 2 days worth of meals that you have to go through
right.
on a weekly basis.
When I looked at the plan, I kept thinking I would love it without breakfast. Because I kept thinking, how creative can you get with breakfast? Mm-hmm. But the crepes that you brought and the granola, I mean, everything is different. Mm-hmm. And I found that I tried things that I wouldn't have normally had for breakfast mm-hmm. by looking at the breakfast plan that y'all have.
Yes, we've actually heard that from several customers. A lot of people don't eat breakfast. And one of the things that we do recommend is that you do eat breakfast. It is better for you to eat in the morning and continually throughout the day. But one thing several customers have told us is that they will take the breakfasts and have them as a mid-morning snack or even as a dessert. This meal in particular is often consumed as a dessert.
What is the meal you're referring to?
It is the peach compote.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, love that. You got to dive into that.
You know I will.
Yeah, the crepes are definitely amazing. We offer those a breakfast crepe and then also a lunch crepe that's a great chicken with a great chicken filling. So
what's the feedback you get from your customers? Do they kind of drive what kind of foods you guys prepare? Do they have any input?
Well, absolutely. We absolutely listen to our customers and ask frequently what they would like to see on the menus. We do change our menus frequently. We incorporate seasonal items. Particularly right now, we have an awful lot of fresh vegetables and fruits that you're not going to see in the winter because they're just simply not available. We've added more than 20 new menu items to our menu in the last 6 months and 12 just in the last month alone.
Do you shop local?
Yes, we do. We try to get everything we can locally.
Tell me about the health initiative.
Well, it's a wellness initiative. Okay. We are working with corporations to partner with their existing wellness programs to bring a nutritional element and strengthen their nutritional element of their wellness programs.
Wow, that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. So how does that work for a business?
Well, we can individualize it for each individual business, but we can put a pickup location within a corporation, and we are working with several corporations on that level. But we can also just make it available through our distribution network to corporate employees as well.
And you're in some great spots too. Wellstar, right?
Yes, we are.
I've seen your meals in lots of spots where it makes great sense. I mean, busy professionals, and why in the world is it that people in hospitals eat so poorly?
Right, exactly.
What a great thing for them to have you in, because for some reason the cafeterias are never all that healthy. So what a great option. So tell us a little bit more about that. How would the wellness initiative work? Say I work for a corporation. We're working on getting folks to get their BMI down. We're getting them out walking. Mm-hmm.
Well, we offer this meal plan to corporate entities so that they can offer it to their employees at a discount or a subsidized cost. We would love to be able to put a location into each one of our partners so that it's very convenient for the employees just to simply go downstairs, perhaps to the coolers to retrieve their meals. We will go into corporations with Ashley and some of our other dietitians to present mm-hmm. lunch and learn programs mm-hmm. To help employees learn about what good nutrition is, what they should be doing. We can customize the program for any corporate entity's wellness program, whatever they need from us to strengthen us. It's not a wellness program in and of itself, but it will certainly add a strong nutritional element to existing programs.
I love it. And we're hearing so much about that. We've had lots of guests recently mm-hmm. talking about how important it is. You spend so much of your day at work, and if you can be motivated there.
Well, many corporate wellness programs do offer a nutritional element, but this, they talk about what you need to do. This is actually providing what mm-hmm. you need to do.
And I think the other interesting part is, say, if you are taking part in a wellness program at your work, you're maybe adding an hour to 2 hours a day of exercise. So that may be, think about, I'm adding all this exercise and I have the intentions of eating great, but how am I going to actually make that happen?
Right.
So this way you pick up your meals, you go to work out, you're hungry when you finish, you have a meal that's completely nutritionally balanced and it's ready to go, ready to eat.
So maybe as we finish your segment, tell us a success story or something you've heard from one of your customers that really warmed your heart and made you feel good about what you were doing.
Well, we had a customer recently who went onto the plan on his doctor's recommendation. He needed to lose weight. He was hypertensive, and I believe he was close to being diabetic as well. He lost a lot of weight in a very short period of time just by controlling what he ate, and he was able to lower all of his numbers. His blood pressure came down, his blood sugar came down, everything, his cholesterol came down, and the last we heard, he is no longer on medications for those conditions at all.
Love that. Love to hear those stories.
Those are weight-related illnesses, and we do we are able to help with those kinds of things a good bit.
I think the biggest part is the portions. All of the portions are done for you. So you hear a lot about portion distortion mm-hmm. In the United States right now as people are overeating. So basically this also takes the thought out of that. You know exactly how much to eat.
What would be a tip that you would share with somebody who's thinking about, you know, improving their diet? Do you have anything, any go-to dietitian tip?
I think for right now, if you're continuing to eat in a restaurant setting, you maybe want to always have half of your food wrapped up before you actually even start your meal. The meals are anywhere from two to three times bigger than they've been in the past. So it's really just too much food right now.
Right. I guess that would be one of the things people, when they see what 300 or 400 calorie meals look like, when they see your sizes, are they like shocked? Like,
yes, frequently. No one can believe how much food is contained in a 1200 calorie a day meal plan. I've never heard anybody say they've gone hungry after consuming it.
I think we, since the food is so healthy, the portions actually tend to be larger than expected, where at a restaurant you may receive a huge portion that's calorie-laden, fat-laden, has, mm-hmm. you know, just bad stuff. But these are actually good-sized meals that the nutrition, you know, they're all nutritionally balanced.
And they're good-sized because they're heavier on the vegetables and things that are more dense but less calories?
Exactly.
I actually challenged their chef at one point because I kept saying, everything tastes better with bacon and butter. And he actually changed my mind on that. And it introduced me to some new foods like quinoa and mm-hmm. a lot of different vinegars. And you really can get away from the bacon and butter.
Absolutely.
I still use it on occasion.
Of course you do.
But I do. I love to cook, but I love your meals. Thank you so much for being with us today. And we'll have you on again soon and get the next update and success
And what's
stories.
The website again?
FreshNFitCuisine.com. That's fresh, the letter N, fit.com, cuisine.com, excuse me.
Excellent. And folks can find out about the wellness programs there as well?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect. Visit the website. Check it out
for
some healthy tips.
Just, put in your zip code and figure out the closest location for you to pick up at.
I love it. Thanks for being with us today. Gosh, Lee, think about how much time that would save.
I know. Some people don't like shopping, grocery shopping.
And some people don't like cooking, but they love to eat. And think about, it's so true when you go out to eat, you have no idea what's in.
No, and you know they're heavy with the butter.
Oh, you know they are.
It's what makes it taste delicious.
Yeah, it adds flavor. Our next guest this morning I'm very excited about because what a cool idea. The Atlanta Botanical Gardens has added an edible garden and an outdoor kitchen. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Megan McCarthy.
Thank you, Amy.
So, Megan, you're with Healthy Eating 101, mm-hmm. but I want to know what your gig is with the Botanical Gardens.
Well, as of May 1st, the Atlanta Botanical Gardens opened a brand new edible garden. Actually, it used to be the parking lot, so if anybody's ever been there, yeah.
So there's less parking.
Yes, they built a parking garage on the other side, actually a big parking deck, and then they've turned it into an edible garden and a huge, huge outdoor kitchen. It's so cool. My part in that is I'm the garden chef, and basically what we do is pick something from the garden that day and cook it up in the kitchen. Or not cook it, but just prepare it more like.
So what are some of the things they have in the garden?
Well, we have got
bacon?
Lots of bacon and butter. No, that's the Paula Deen show. We have done beets. We had a lot of beets for a while.
You like beets?
I love beets. I love beets now.
Don't they stain?
They do, but you can work around that. There's a if you come to one of my cooking classes late,
you have to shrink wrap yourself before preparing the beets.
No, you get all your assistants to do it. So we've roasted beets, we've boiled beets, and just make different recipes. I've done salads. I did this really cool garlic yogurt beet dip, and it turned out like bright pink. It was so cool.
It's
like
pretty.
It was really pretty, and it's really fun for the kids to come watch because most everybody's familiar with the Food Network and you know those kinds of cooking shows and stuff, and they see this live and it's like okay, and there's no food coloring in this, and it's really pink. And,
so, do you show them? Like, do you actually take it right out of the garden in front of people?
Well, we do two shows.
Or your people do that?
Well, my people's people. No. Actually, I do it. I love doing it, and we do two shows every Saturday and Sunday at noon and 1 o'clock. So, and we do the same recipe each week. Each weekend, we come up with a new recipe and do it 4 times. And I go out and, this past weekend we did fresh basil. And the garden actually has like 5 kinds of basil. So I was just using the sweet basil. And I made a pesto, a walnut feta pesto. And and then we taste it. Everybody tastes it and get to sample it. And it's really fun. And people get into it. And,
it's great. Aren't more and more people having their own gardens nowadays?
Oh, yeah. And I have my neighbor's garden, which is really great.
It's even better.
Yeah, especially when they're on vacation and all those tomatoes are becoming ripe. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. My neighbors have been on vacation, too, and I've got a whole stash to make salsa. Although, how do you keep the bunnies out? Do you have a bunny issue there?
We have a little bunny issue. He's got some little chicken wire fence stuff around there. His tomato plants are already 6 feet tall.
It's how do they grow them like that?
Well, he digs deep and, gets a little past that Georgia clay and just the kind of fertilizing all natural, their gardens way organic.
So who's in charge of the actual garden?
The botanical garden has some garden
just special
botanists.
People that are vegetable specialists?
Yeah. We did red cabbage a couple weeks ago and there's a maintenance that they
do. Do you have a say in what they're putting in there? Are you saying?
Absolutely not. But I get a say in when it grows, and it's really cool. So it's kind of like the secret ingredient.
Right.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. So every week, my gal calls me and says, hey, we've got this or this. And
what do you want to do?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I'll get back to you. And I whip up a recipe at home and then... go down to the garden and make
it. So is it better at the garden, like, than from what you buy in the grocery store?
It's so much better.
It's unbelievable. And the love that I put into it.
Oh, you can't. Yeah. Can't.
That's always the secret ingredient at my house. A lot of love.
The Iron Chef secret ingredient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although,
yeah.
Right now, Megan, I got to ask you, what should I do with all of my mint? It's going crazy. Everything now I make has mint in it.
Yes. Mojito's number one.
Of course.
Yes. Actually, there's a little alternative. You could do like a caprese salad with the tomatoes and mozzarella and use mint instead of basil. It kind of changes it up in a
going
different...
Going head-to-head here because, Amy's a little culinary person. Yeah. What do you think of that?
Well, my basil is going... crazy right now too. Maybe I should mix the two. Maybe I should marry the basil and the mint.
Yeah, you could, and that's you could make a little pesto
in my beans.
Yeah,
right now my beans are going crazy, but my corn not so much. Do I have to wait on that?
Knee high by the 4th of July. We just passed the 4th of July.
Oh no, it's up to my neck.
Oh, it's going crazy.
Yeah, but there's nothing on it yet that I can eat.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll have to wait. I'll have to wait and watch. So you do lots of cooking classes, not just at the Botanical Gardens. Tell us about that.
Well, I regularly teach at the Cook's Warehouse and Whole Foods up in Alpharetta and Duluth at the Salud Cooking School. And basically what I teach is cooking classes that are focused on superfoods. So everything that's really wonderful for you and everything that's super healthy and everything that would be in a meal that you'd want to eat. So I make it very tasty and easy and simple. And
so what are some summer superfoods?
Summer superfoods? Well, I would, anything green, of course. You know? So, right now I would,
any watermelon recipes?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. I just grilled watermelon. It tasted like pumpkin. What's up with that?
Is that good? Is that a good thing?
It was the strangest thing. Like I guess it caramelized. I've never tasted anything like it. I saw the recipe and I thought, I wonder what this will taste like. If you grill watermelon, y'all, it tastes like pumpkin.
Yeah.
Go figure.
We've been grilling the pineapple lately, so I mean, not that that's actually local, but you know,
from the garden, the botanical garden in Hawaii.
That's right.
You also believe that a lot of this education should start with younger kids and teaching them to learn to eat healthy. How do you go about that?
Well, I think the first step is getting them in the kitchen and getting them interested and away from the drive-through at the fast food restaurants.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
I know it sounds convenient.
It's crazy.
Stuff. Yeah.
It just might work.
But there are so many things you can do that are so easy to just do in your own kitchen. And I think what's great about kids watching television is when they have a food channel on of sorts, you know, and they're watching that. I had a little kid last weekend at the Botanical Gardens. He was so cute. He says, "Oh, Paula Deen's my favorite." I said, "Oh, that's nice, honey." And you know, and then by the end of the class, he was like, "Now you're my favorite."
Yeah,
I know, it was really cute.
God, love that. And what about Michelle Obama? Man, she's going crazy
about the healthy eating.
She needs to know that I've been doing this. I've taught in the Georgia public school system, and what's really fun about that is I am teaching middle schoolers the same thing I'm teaching adults.
Right.
I just kind of repackage it a little ways in the way I present it. You know, and it's all the same foods. It's actually a lot of the foods that you have right here, and everything from quinoa, whole grains, fresh vegetables. I do smoothies, hummus, and just take a sweet potato and make it different than what they would think of to do with a potato,
right.
Like French fries or something.
What was that TV show? Jamie something?
Jamie Oliver.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you think of that?
I think.
Did you see it, Amy?
I did. Yeah.
I think it's awesome, and I love his passion because I have the same passion. I think that I'm not sure if everybody in that was being targeted was appreciative of a British guy telling us about that. So I'm thinking we gotta bring it home here to the U.S. And
so you think there's a problem in the schools with their food, nutrition?
Absolutely. And the more they know about their food, where it comes from, and growing it themselves, or just at least seeing it grown. A lot of these kids, they don't even know where they know where honey comes from. They didn't know where maple syrup comes from.
Right.
They thought it came from bears.
Bears.
Yeah, I'm like, oh gosh.
That Yogi the Bear influence on children.
I tell you, I love watching. My kids are 13 and 14. So when their friends come over, and you know, we have the hens, and so many of their friends are just fascinated by the fact that these hens lay an egg a day. And they're like, you know, they're just used to getting them in a carton in the grocery store. And they're like, they lay an egg a day?
Yeah.
They eat what? I mean, it is kind of interesting to really think about where your food does come from. So tell us about Chef's Move.
Yeah, that's the program that Michelle Obama is getting in place. And all the chefs from all over the country are signing up to give their time and their gifts to kids in schools. And they're setting together a program to do that so we can actually get out in the schools and do that. It's one thing on paper, and it's another thing to actually do it. So it's really pretty cool. And everybody really wants to teach kids.
Right.
Because they're our future. So, and, you know,
they're going to. How's that cookbook coming you're working on?
The cookbook is actually coming faster.
Closer.
Yeah, yeah. I keep adding more recipes. And what's cool, too, about the Botanical Garden is that every recipe I do there goes on the AtlantaBotanicalGardens.org website.
Right.
And I'm you know, building up just fun recipes.
You have hundreds, right?
Hundreds.
Thousands.
Yeah. No, not thousands yet. So it's
soon coming out, the Healthy Eating 101 Cookbook.
That's
I can't
right.
wait.
Thank you.
You'll have to let us know when it's out. You'll come on the show. You'll talk about the cookbook, bring us some treats. I'm seeing that.
Yeah.
You know, that's really what we're missing from Megan, is these snacks.
I brought you the Hershey's.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right. Take credit for that.
Yeah. I did not.
I love what you're doing, Megan. I love what you're doing with kids, and I can't wait to visit the Botanical Gardens, but I do have a question. Is everything Viking in that outdoor kitchen? Is it really?
It's mostly Viking.
Mm.
What's really great is the Cook's Warehouse, however, has donated all the equipment.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, like every spatula and pan and
very generous donation.
Love that place.
Yeah. It's the number one cooking store in the U.S.
I love it. Love it.
Nice plug.
Yeah.
Good.
She's got it going on.
Yeah. She's a wonderful person and she's got it right.
I got a visit on a weekend, right? When you're doing a class.
Mm-hmm. Every Saturday and Sunday.
All right. You'll see me there soon. And
rain or shine?
Rain or shine, I'm covered.
There you go.
Heat or cold is
that's
more
another
like.
Yeah. Story.
I'll be the one drooling over the outdoor kitchen. That's next on my wish list.
Yeah.
That and a big green egg.
Yeah. Mm.
Gosh.
You can dream.
Lee, you got to start paying me more money here.
Yes, I'll work on that.
I have expensive hobbies.
We should get the green egg people on here.
Ooh, now you're talking. Now you're talking. Megan, thanks so much for being with us today, and we look forward to updates from you frequently.
And your website? What's your website?
HealthyEating101.com.
There you
and
go.
And can folks find out about your cooking classes on that website?
Yes, they can. I list them as they come about. So.
Nice.
Perfect. Yeah. And you do private classes too, right?
I do. Those are really fun.
That would be a fun thing.
Even like
that's a good gift.
It
night.
Is.
Yeah.
It is a really good gift, actually.
Yeah.
When's
Thank
Abby's
you.
Birthday?
Yeah.
When's
November.
Abby's birthday?
November.
Right. Coming up. That would be a fun thing. And hopefully she'll invite me too.
There you go. You give
more
it to
the
her.
Merrier.
Yes.
Depends how generous you are in giving her that gift.
Megan, thanks for being with us today.
Thank
always,
you so much.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you. Likewise.
So our next guest this morning, it's funny. I get a lot of things that come across from PR people and from big corporations that say, hey, like the WeGo people, for instance.
Yes.
I mean, they're really working on getting their word out. But
you know, they invited us right when they launched that. Do you remember?
I do.
They wanted us to do a remote from the car.
Yeah.
Which we blew them off.
We did. I don't know why we did, but we did. But this morning, our next guest, they sent me a request that was so sweet and so charming. It's been sitting on my desk, and I kept thinking, I've got to meet these guys. They said they were kids, although they're big kids. They're not quite kids. I think of kids as like, you know, 15-year-olds, but they are pretty young. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. This morning, we have Lou and David from Unexpected Ways. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
And, you know, I'm going to say that you do fit into the show because you said you have a vegetarian dog, so you must.
There you go. Healthy
right?
eating.
You must be a healthy eating
How
type
did you
of
know your
family?
Dog was vegetarian?
She just kind of, she loves peppers. That was her favorite food. She doesn't really eat raw chicken or stuff like that normal dogs eat. So.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. My cat eats the peppers in my garden. I mean, go crazy. She's always picking at the peppers. So, Two Kids Battle Bad Economy was the headline of the email you sent me. Tell us about your company.
Well, basically, we do, I mean, the short answer is we do advertising and marketing. Mm-hmm. But really, the long answer is we like to work with passionate business owners who want to help people with their business. So, for mm-hmm. instance, like these guys you found on the show earlier.
All three of them. I mean, honestly, they're all very passionate about what they do.
Yeah, they're passionate and they want to help a lot of people. And so what we do is we step in and we help them. We give them tools. We teach them strategies that enable them to connect with more people who they want to help. Okay. And then the side effect of that is they grow, they make more money, they're able to expand and do bigger and better things. They help more people in the process. And then the side effect of that is we grow and we expand as we help them. So, I mean, we're in a small way, I guess, we're trying to really
save the world.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, no doubt. So I'm a mother. I'm looking at you two. You're 21. Why the heck aren't you in college?
We were in college for about 2 years. I think we both kind of felt college was holding us back in what we wanted to do. I'm a graphic designer and David is a sales writer, which means he writes words that make people take some sort of action. And we kind of felt like college was holding us back. I know for me, when I would come to my classes, most of the time I would already know everything they were teaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, did you guys meet in college?
No, actually, we met back in high school.
Okay, so, and did you go to the same college?
No.
So you were both in different colleges, mm-hmm. and then you said, you know what, this isn't working, let's just do our own thing?
Well, we actually started our business while we were still in college for about 6 months that mm-hmm. we were doing both, and then it kind of came down to choosing which we really was our passion and our business we wanted to focus on full-time.
Right.
How did you get that first client? Like, you're a college person.
It actually,
you didn't tell them, right?
it actually sort of happened by accident. While I was in college, I needed a way to make some money to support myself, and the way I did that was by teaching guitar lessons, because guitar was always something I loved, and my friends just sort of naturally came to me, and I helped them with guitar the better and better I got, and so I thought I'll teach guitar lessons. And the way I grew my business was advertising on Craigslist. Mm-hmm. And I studied sales writing eventually to learn how to write these ads. And what happened then was someone actually asked me to write a guest blog post for their marketing blog about how I was getting all these clients off of Craigslist. Because here I am, 20 years old, getting more clients and growing my business faster than these other people who have been in the business for 40 plus years.
Right.
And from that guest blog post, we had wanted to start this business a while before that.
But so you've been talking about it,
yeah.
Right? You were,
yeah.
But you were like, look, we're in college. We're going to take the normal path, you know, go to college, get a job kind of thing. But then this kind of changed your direction.
I don't think we were ever going to take a normal path. No.
So tell us a success story, maybe how you've helped one of your clients grow or something that our listeners can sink their teeth into.
We worked with a chiropractor in California a few months ago, and we created a newspaper ad for him for a service that wasn't covered by insurance and was pretty costly. And we created a newspaper ad for him that was a full-page ad. And from that ad, he ran it. The first time he ran it, the newspaper completely botched it.
Yeah, you could barely read the thing. They just totally.
And he still got more calls than he got previously. And then the next time he ran it, I think he made like $16,000 off it. And the calls he got, he said, were completely targeted from the people that he was trying to appeal to.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we follow a very, very simple mantra, which is find out what people want and give it to them.
Wow, that's interesting. A lot of companies don't do that. That's clever.
Well, no, I think people make it far too complex.
Yeah.
You think they overthink it, most business people?
I think a lot of people they're very good at their expertise.
Right.
But they don't quite understand how to communicate that to people in a way that makes them want to buy what they offer or sign up for their service. But, what we have found is in most services, there are very deep set emotional reasons that actually people sign up for the service. And our job is to actually go and talk to their customers mm-hmm. and flesh out these reasons that really inspire people to buy. And then we create some sort of piece of advertising for them that that just puts out all that together. So people, like, really, we just let people know, people with a problem, we let them know when they see that ad, they've come to someone who really wants to help them and has a solution.
Right.
And in our advertising and marketing, I think it's really important to us to make people feel appreciated. I think a lot of advertising is really salesy, and it kind of doesn't give people space to make the decision or to take things in. And we really kind of like to create advertising that gives people the space to make an informed decision and feel acknowledged and appreciated and feel like they do have that space.
Interesting. And how big of a factor is social media in what you're doing?
To be quite honest, we haven't dove into social media too much. We hear around us, it's what you got to do. And it works amazing for some people. But as of now, that hasn't really been our area. We've been more in like building websites. So I guess when people find the social media and then they get to a website, we'll create a website for someone that's
effective. Now, do you think there's a different mentality of how people are being used to marketing? Like, for example, Amy and I are much older than you. And so we've been brought up in kind of this interruption marketing where we're used to TV commercials and, mm-hmm. you know, that's how we were brought up and that's how, you know, we're used to seeing ads. But younger people like your age, you have a different kind of take on marketing. Like you, are in some ways more cynical. Like you doubt everything right off the bat. Where we just kind of accept marketing as that's mm-hmm. just the cost of doing business. So do you have different strategies when your clients' customers are older than if they're younger? Like, do you take it, like, how do you look through the eyes of, you know, a 50-year-old as opposed to the eyes of a 20-year-old?
I think a really big step that we take in any marketing or advertising that we create is research, and that takes about a week to 2 weeks. And research,
or even longer, depending.
And research is super important because how can you really find out what somebody wants and give it to them if you don't know what they want? That's why we like to interview our clients, and kind of really talk to them and get to know their personalities and what they like, what they don't like. And that way, when David writes copy and I create design, we really do it in a way that appeals to those people specifically.
Right. So how do you go about this research? Do you actually call them on the mm-hmm. phone?
Yeah.
We'll ask our clients to, depending on the project, we'll ask for different amounts of their clients. We'll just tell them to think of a group of people who they work with, who they serve, who really represent the kind of people they want to work with more in the future,
right.
and really represent their target market. And then we get on the phone with these people, and I guess we kind of have a knack for fleshing things out.
Do you do it together, you tag team?
sometimes we do. Often I'll take the interviews, or we'll do them together. Yeah, we tag team. We bully them. We make them fear for their life.
Why did you buy?
Tell us the secret recipe. Yeah. Being the flashlight. No. But anyway, so we just kind of try to make them feel really safe and comfortable.
Right.
We let them know that it'll be anonymous if they wanted to. And then we ask them, we try to find out the stories behind the story. So, for instance, we've worked with some personal trainers and people have said, well, I didn't have energy. I wanted more energy.
Right.
So then we said, okay, so now you have more energy. And they say, yes. And I think that's where most advertising stops, you know, get more energy.
Right.
But we ask them, well, what does that look like? Like, what are you now able to do in your personal life or in your work life that you weren't before?
Right.
And you get really amazing stories that are just so inspiring that you can almost just take these exact stories.
Right, and then put them on the website, and then all of a sudden that becomes persuasive.
Yeah.
Interesting. Wow. I mean, that makes so much sense because
right.
I think sometimes we do overcomplicate things. And your writing is wonderful. I mean, like I said, I get a lot of emails, and I was like, wow, this one really stands out.
Thank you.
Very interesting. And I'm also just, I can't believe when I asked the social media question, I thought for sure that they'd be all over it. Yeah. Wow.
We blog. We have a blog.
Is that like, where do you get your customers? Like you, like on your, I think in your website you have over 100 clients so far or something like that?
Well, I mean, we've helped over 100 business owners both right. through like marketing or creating design for them. And we also had a software that we created that helped a lot of business owners also.
So in the short period of time, how long have you been doing this? Not very long.
Over a year.
About right. a year wow. and a few months.
Yeah. So every month there's 10 clients, 9, 10 clients?
That's great.
Well, many of those have been through this software we launched. Uh-huh. The software we're creating, one of the things we did initially was we created Craigslist ads, and we created a software where people in the health professional niche could just plug in their information and it pops out these beautiful professional ads, and they can get clients off of Craigslist. And I guess in how have we gotten our clients? You know, they seem to come to us from the weirdest places.
Yeah, so
they come to your website and then that's where you're getting them?
Or we'll get like a text message from someone we haven't heard of. It's kind of like when we take action in advertising or marketing ourselves, even if we don't get clients directly from, like, let's say we send a letter out, even if we don't get clients directly from that letter, from somewhere we'll get clients. Yeah. And it just worked for us every
single time.
Like,
how'd that California chiropractor find you guys?
He heard us. We had someone in between us who we both knew.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in conversation, it came up between them what I was doing and what Lou and I were both doing and the results we were getting. And
so he said, well, I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. And so one day we just get a phone call from this guy. But, yeah, it's weird what Lou is saying. It seems though that these kinds of weird coincidences always occur when we
need money.
Well, actually, thankfully, we haven't been in that spot in a long time. But no, when we it's weird. Like, we'll send out a letter prospecting or something, right. and the letter might get zero results, but that week we'll have five weird coincidences happen.
Right.
And they always happen at the same time. So now we
we just trust them.
Yeah, so now we say, okay, let's just send
out
a letter.
More letters.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
This is a great story.
It is a great story. So your tagline, things come together, I guess that's you're saying. It just sort of works.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so do you like certain kinds of clients? Like you mentioned fitness trainers, chiropractic, that sounds kind of, you know, the health related. Do you do better in that space, or that's just happens to be where a lot of your work has come?
We have done a lot of work with those people. I mean, we've also worked with spiritual teachers and cafes,
authors.
It's not really about what they do specifically. As long as someone is passionate about what they do, and we believe in them, we believe in their product, and we believe, you know, it has some benefit to others, that inspires us, and mm-hmm. we want to help that person. That's why it's easy for us to create this
right.
kind of advertising.
If you believe,
we love what we
right,
do.
Right, exactly.
And it's just, I mean, it's fun for us.
Excellent. That's why they were a natural fit today, because all of our guests
tied
are passionate.
It all together.
That's yeah. right. If folks want to visit your website, can you give that to us again?
Yeah, that's unexpectedways.net. Just the word unexpected, the word you, I guess I could spell it out. UnexpectedWays.net. And yeah, you could contact us from there.
Okay. And they can read your blog, and you have
yeah.
a lot of good information on the site, right?
Yeah.
yeah.
Our blog
yeah.
has a lot of tips business owners can put to use, really cost-effective kind of marketing tips to get
Perfect.
More clients.
Cool.
Excellent. Gosh, thanks for being our guest this morning. Lee,
thank
we're out
you
of time.
Guys. I know. Once again.
Time flies when you're having fun, right? And when you're doing something you're passionate about. Thanks for being our guest this morning, and thanks to our listeners. We appreciate all the emails we get, too. Oftentimes, people will have questions for the folks that were guests. And I know that Lou and David said they'd be happy to answer some of those questions. So send us your emails, go to their website, and until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.